ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10 87 चैप्टर एंड 32nd वर्स नृषुतव मायया भ्रममीश अवगत्य भृशम् त्वयि सुधियो भवि ददति भाववन प्रभवम् कतम अनुवर्तताम् भवभयम् तव यद्भ्रुकुटी सृजति मुहुस्त्रिनेमिरभवच्चरणेषु भयम् नृषुतव मायया भ्रममीश्च अवगत्य भृशम् त्वयि सुदियो भवि ददति भावानुप्रभवम् कथम् अनुवर्तताम् भवभयम् तव यद्भ्रुकुटी सृजति मुहुस्त्रिनेमिरववच्चरणेषु भयम् नृषुतव मायया भ्रममीश्च अवगत्य भृशम् त्वयि सुदियो भवि ददति भाववनुप्रभवम् कथमनुवर्तताम् भवभयम् तव यद्भ्रुकुटी सृजति मुहुस्त्रिनेमिरभवच्चरणेषु भयम् फाउंटेन माता जी नृषु among humans, tava, your, mayaya, by the illusory energy, brahmam, bewilderment, ameshu, among these, avagatya, understanding, brisham, fervent, tvai, unto you, sudhiyaha, those who are wise, abhave, unto the source of liberation, dadhati, render, bhavam, loving service, anubhavam, potent, katham, how, anuvartatam, for those who follow you faithfully, bhava, of material life, bhayam, fear, tava, your, yat, since, bru, of the eyebrows, kutihi, the furrowing, srijati, creates, moho, repeatedly, trinemihi, three trimmed, in the three phases of time, namely past, present and future, a, not, bhavat, from you, sharaneshu, for those who take shelter, bhayam, fear. Translation and purport by the followers of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. The wise souls who understand how your maya deludes all living entities render potent lovings to you, who are the source of liberation from birth and death. How indeed can fear of material life affect your faithful servants? On the other hand, your furrowing eyebrows, the triple rimmed wheel of time, repeatedly terrify those who refuse to take shelter of you. The second part of the purport. Some philosophers will question how the Vaishnavas can overcome their material entrapment without thorough analytical knowledge of the entities Tvam, you, the Jiva, and Tat, that, the Supreme, and without developing a sufficient hatred of material life. The personified Vedas here answer that there is no chance of material illusion continuing to act on devotees of the Lord, because even in the earliest stages of devotional service, all fear and attachment are removed by the Lord's grace. Time is the root cause of all fear in this world. Indeed, with the three divisions of past, present and future, it creates terror at the prospect of impending disease, death and hellish suffering. But only for those who have failed to obtain the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. As the Lord Himself says in Ramayana, Lanka Kanda, Sakradeva Prapannoyas Tavasmi Tichayatate Abhayam Sarvadatasmai Dadametat Vrtam Mamaham. To whomever even once surrender unto me, pleading, I am yours, I give eternal fearlessness. This is my solemn vow. Furthermore, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Devi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratya Mameva Prapadyante Maya Metam Tarantite. This divine energy of mind, consisting of three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Vaishnavas do not like to waste their time in prolonged and fruitless wrangling over dry philosophical subjects. They would rather worship the personality of Godhead than quarrel with philosophical adversaries. The Vaishnava's understanding concurs with the essential message of revealed scripture. The devotee's conception of the Supreme Absolute Truth as the infinite ocean of personality, of loving pastime and loving pastimes in his worshipable forms of Krishna, Rama and other divine manifestations, and their conception of themselves as his eternal servants amount to the perfect conclusion of Vedanta philosophy in terms of the entities Tat and Tvam. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanativirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Mena Tasmai Shri Guruvenam Namami Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharade Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarun Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So we are reading through this chapter, 32nd verse, in which the personified Vedas are glorifying the Supreme Lord and his devotional service. Srila Prabhupada, when he was first time in the Western countries, I believe it was the house of Gopal Agarwal, where he stayed. There, the son of Gopal Agarwal was very much interested to play with Prabhupada, to be with Prabhupada. And of course, in those days, you know, those fans, the table fans, the boy was very much fascinated to see the table fan. And he actually wanted to touch it. And he was pleading to his parents, please help me to touch this one. Of course, how can any parent allow that one to happen? They knew that it will hurt him. So therefore, they were telling not to touch, but this boy was very much interested to wanted to do that. So therefore, at last, Prabhupada was there, and Prabhupada took charge of the child, and he asked the child, do you want to touch it? The child was nodding. He said, yes, I would like to. Then Prabhupada knew that he is not going to, you know, listen to it. So he wanted to experience it. So Prabhupada wanted to give him also the experience. So he put off the fan, and then he took the child, and the finger of the child, and the finger went inside the frame. Immediately what happened? A ton, or the big sound. This child was crying very loudly because being hit by that blade of the fan. And then Prabhupada, after some time, again asked the child, would you like to chat once again? This time, of course, the child was crying, and he said, no, I don't want enough of this experience. So this is what exactly the personified Vedas are telling in today's verse. That those who understand that this material energy is very, very powerful, it is insurmountable. Those who understand that, they don't want to play with it. They just directly go to the Supreme Lord and render potent devotional service. And those, you know, some of us who want to, you know, play around, so there is a chance, okay, Krishna allows us, let's go and touch it and get your own experience. So therefore, it saves a lot of time and energy just believing in the words of the spiritual master and the scriptures, which, you know, enables us to directly render devotional service unto the Lord and perfect one's life. Recently, I was in Vrindavan Dham with some devotees for some yatra. We landed on the day of Kartik Purnima, Sharad Purnima. And then first day, you know, as it happens, first day we visited all seven temples. And then we went to Barsana and Nandaga. And third day we had decided to go to Brahmanda Ghat. Of course, we went with all the devotees and, you know, we went there, we did kirtan and there was some katha. And then everybody was interested to go into the Yamuna rivers, you know, take bath. It was the highlight of the, you know, every time yatra, devotees wanted to get that experience. And of course, first they wanted to ride through that boat. I also sat in and we took around devotees, we were having nice kirtan. And then after that, everybody came out, and those who really wanted to dive deep, you know, they wanted to swim in the river Yamuna. They said, Prabhuji, now it is the time, now let's go, please, please. They were hurrying up. They also told me, you also please come with us. And I also went inside, and we were trying to, you know, to play around. And there was one sadhu standing. Of course, there were so many hundreds of devotees who were taking bath. And they saw this group of our group, really enthusiastic group. You know, and he warned us, oh, be careful, don't go too deep inside the rivers. And I immediately, my memory flashed back. And I was remembering what happened during that 1 year when we went for this yatra along with His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And that time, I think it was 2006 or 7, I believe. So the yatra, as it always happened, that Maharaj gave wonderful katha, and then it was by, I think, 12:30 by the afternoon, and all devotees, they wanted to take bath, and we also went inside. And there were thousands of devotees, hundreds and thousands of devotees, and we all took bath. And some of us, you know, we are trying to play around. We are getting inside, really inside, little deeper, thinking that I know, you know, the swimming. And then very soon I realized that, you know, I am in the midst of the, you know, river myself. And I was, you know, trying to, you know, row around my own self. But I was going nowhere, you know, I thought I am going towards wherever I wanted to go. But then what was happening was that current of river was pulling me to the other direction. By the time I realized that now I am in danger, it was almost in the middle of the river. And I looked around, I had nobody, but of course one devotee was with me, you know, who was our very dear god brother, Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu. He was with me. I mean, both of us, we were, you know, trying to go around and play. And we realized that myself and him, that we realized that we are the only two here in the midst. And everybody else was there in the nearby the banks, and they were taking nice bath. And I realized, myself and him, and I was shouting to him, Prabhu, Prabhu, where are we? What is the hope? Can we do anything? And he said something I couldn't hear, because it was such a huge commotion. There were so many devotees there chanting and commotion, and so I could really hear, I couldn't hear anything. But then, then I decided today is my last day, because I thought I know swimming. I went inside, and the river Yamuna is pulling to the other direction, and then who can play, you know, who can really swim like that? It was a fast current in those days. I thought today is my last day. I decided, oh, anyway, it is Vrindavan, and it is during the month of Kartik, and river Yamuna, holiest of all rivers. Why not just, you know, give up? Now I was, some thoughts were crossing my mind. Then something happened. I saw some, you know, people, they were also on the other side of the shore, they were also swimming, and then they were going towards that direction. The thought came to my mind that why not just go along the shores and go to that, you know, side of the bank. And by the grace of the God, I could say that I just passed through. Myself and Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, we went to the other side of the shore, I mean, other side of the banks. And by that time it was already, it had taken 20-25 minutes to do that much endeavor. By that time all devotees, you know, they were packing up and they took their bath and they packed up everything and they were walking. And sure enough, our clothes were on the other side, no? Because we took our clothes on this side and we went to the other side. And then somehow or other we were trying to come to this side, we took help of some boat, we came to this side and we couldn't directly come to, because people would ask us what happened, you know, you didn't come early and what is your dress, where are your dresses? We went back, that temple, you know, that Brahmanaga temple, went back from that side and then we came forward. We waited for some time. There was a cow shed, some of you know that, there is a cow shed and we were trying to spend some time with cows, and by that time, it was almost, I think 45 minutes had passed and most of the devotees had left. And some slowly we sneaked in and then we came to the place and thank God our clothes were there still, and then we put on our clothes and then we proceeded. So this is what happens to somebody who doesn't listen to the advice, the caution given by the experienced devotees. And that person was telling us, please, please take care. But still we went, and this time also when we went to that yatra, he was telling, so be careful. I immediately understood what had happened some years before. So therefore I immediately came out of the river Yamuna. I mean, this is exactly how the living entity wants to, you know, try out. He wants to try out and just see how is it possible. Is it really, my eyes really so problematic? Is it really so deluding? So let me have a check. Of course, the experience is there and everybody can get it, but the best part of the learning is just hear and understand it. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Ichha dvesha samutvena dvandamohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sargayanti parantapa. Ichha and dvesha, desire and hate, these are the two reasons why the living entity wants to come to this material world, and we have come back to this material world because we wanted to taste ourselves. How this Maya looks like. And we had that Ichha, that desire, deep desire within the heart. And Dvesha, because we wanted to compete with the Lord. Okay, why Krishna, why worship Him only all the time? Why not get that worship for myself? As soon as the living entity thinks like this, he is immediately sent to this material world. And here the facility is there, okay, you try out, try to become Krishna yourself, try to, you know, play around with Maya. And you will get experience like that of the child, you know, who got his finger hit. And then soon the living entity realizes and comes out of this illusion and renders potent devotional service, which the personified Vedas are telling us in today's verse. So, in the first canto again it is said, Yasyam vai shruyamanaya krishne parama purushe bhakturutpadyate pamsa shoka moha bhayapaha. The shoka moha bhaya are finished, they are removed from one's life when one hears the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Yasyam vai shruyamanaya krishne parama purushe. And by hearing, one attains to the pure devotional service, and when there is pure devotional service in one's life, then there is no question of shoka, moya and bhaya. And in today's purport, it is explained how, and also in the translation, those who do not surrender unto the lotus feet of the Lord and render devotional service, they will be harassed by this time, which is three-rimmed. The rims of a wheel. how many rims? This has three rims, past, present and future, bhut, bhavishyat and vartaman. So these are the three spokes or rims of the wheel which are troubling the playing entities. And right there in first canto of Bhagavatam, the solution is given. How to get rid of the three rims of this, the wheel of Kala, the chakra of Kala. Just by hearing about the Supreme Lord and His loving pastimes with His devotees, one can overcome this wheel of Kala or chakra Kala. So, out of three, the bhaya is very prominent. That is future. Future represents bhaya. The past represents the lamentation. And present represents illusion. In the past we did something which we are not supposed to do, therefore we are lamenting. Or this happened, how I wish it would not have happened. Okay, we can't do anything about it because the past is past. Now presently we are illusioned necessarily by the material energy itself. And future is awaiting. The bhaya. That is, future is unknown. We don't know what is going to happen. So although the people, they know that 31st of the December is the last day to go to the banks and deposit their money, but still already there is so much rush. It's not that today is the last day or some other day was the last day. There is enough time given already. But already, people in general, they are rushing to the banks and trying to deposit their money and get the, of course, money is needed to, live in this material world. But at the same time, the element of fear is there, element of fear, that what will happen, I don't know, so let me get my currency exchange as soon as possible. That bhaya is there. So this fear is the predominant, the principle of this material existence. So amongst four, eating, mating and sleeping and defending. All three they take place anyway, but this defending is necessarily fear. Out of fear one tries to defend oneself, isn't it? So this fear is such a deadly thing for a conditioned soul that is constantly harassed by it. Constantly, the fear of exams, the fear of impending death, the fear of old age, the fear of so many other things. So this fear is that one feature of the Kala which is very, very, troublesome to this all the living entities. So therefore, the Lord has given us the promise which is stated in the purport. Sakradeva prapannoyas tavasmiti ache abhayam sarvadatasmai dadame tadrutam mama. The Lord has already declared, so don't worry. Abhayam sarvadatasmai, I will give you fearlessness. Just surrender unto me. Sakradeva prapannoy. Even once if somebody comes in front of their lordships, Lord Sri Ram, Lord Sri Krishna, and tells that I am yours, my dear Lord, and then he prostrates in front of the Lord. Just that one act can give fearlessness, and that is the promise of the Lord. And it is said that there were two really big fools in the entire existence. We all know all of them, both of them. One is Duryodhana and another one is Ravana. And they were given the best of the advices. In case of Duryodhana, including Lord Krishna, everybody else was telling him what was supposed to be done and what was not supposed to be done. But fool he was, he didn't listen to that. And another fool is Ravana. he was also given best of the advices by Mandodari herself and many of his ministers, and of course best of his brother Vibhishana personally told him, just surrender unto him, the Supreme Lord. He has come, the same Vishnu has come, just surrender unto him. But Vinashakale Viparita Buddhi, at the time of, you know, such Vinasha, when it comes, then the good advice are not very palatable. So the same thing happened to that first personality, that he did listen and then he was doomed to death. He didn't surrender to the Lord. He had 10 heads, all 10 intact, but none of the heads had, you know, little bit of intelligence. If he had, then he would have certainly surrendered unto the Supreme Lord, which he didn't. But Vibhishana was, you know, single-headed. He surrendered. With his one single head, he surrendered. He understood that who this personality is, and he surrendered. And in fact, he was made the king of the entire Lanka. Ravana, you know, slogged day and night to build this city of Lanka. But at last, who became the king? Vibhishana, who surrendered unto the Lord. Even if he wanted to continue in that land of Lanka, he would have surrendered at least for that one reason. But fool he was, he didn't. So therefore, this material existence, headed by illusory energy, is so bewildering. Although it is there, right there in front of you. Pashyannapina pashyati, as it is said. It is seen, but still it is not understood. So therefore, Lord Brahma, it is said that he studied the entire Vedic literatures three times. Just like any Vedic scholar would do that. So, Lord Brahma studied all the Vedic literatures 3 times. And then he concluded. What was his conclusion? The loving service unto the personality of Godhead is the essence of all the Vedic literature, and therefore one should take to the pure devotional service. That was the conclusion given by the first born son of Lord Vishnu, or Lord Krishna himself. And then therefore he personally rendered that potent devotional service, and he expected of all of us to do the same. And once our Devamrita Swami Maharaj was here, and he was telling that philosophy can convince the head. Therefore, we should first of all go through the philosophy. But that is not very sufficient. Unless somebody experiences it, which is experience is through the heart, he cannot surrender to the Lord completely. So therefore, a philosophy is needed. Of course, the 10th canto of this, especially this part of Srimad Bhagavatam, personified Vedas offering prayers to the Lord, is very, very philosophical. It is very essential to go through that. Other day, I think a day before, Gaur Gopal was giving beautiful class. In his class, he was telling how going through these important chapters is so very essential. And Kaviraj Goswami also said that Siddhanta Baliya Chitta Nakara Alas Yaha Haite Krishna Lagi Sudhruda Manas. That we need not, we should not understand that this is so difficult and how to go through that. We should not become alasis or we cannot do that. So therefore we have to dive deep. So that we can convince ourselves, our intelligence, our mind, they should be convinced. But that is not sufficient. We should also experience it, pure devotional service. How? Of course, they are telling how it is so beautiful, so wonderful, and there is no other way to come out of this material existence. Only and only way is to potent devotional service. Okay, that is convincing. They are trying to convince us through logic and philosophy. That is for our mind and intelligence. But we have to actually go deep and actually try to do that potent devotional service. So yesterday we celebrated the divine appearance of our dear Guru Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. But Saturday itself, our Bhagavan Pandit Prabhu had told me that such an coming Monday we are going to celebrate and there is going to be a feast, he said. In Brahmacharya Ashram, he was talking to somebody and I overheard it. I mean, some kind of, you know, happiness started developing within my heart. Okay, coming Monday there is going to be a feast. I was anticipating. But that was it, you know, that was not real experience. And then yesterday we were having that festival right here. And then, you know, we could experience, you know, through our nose that something is being cooked up nicely there in the kitchen. Some of our devotees worked hard. They didn't even come for the festival, they were there, you know, cooking for all the devotees and for the pleasure of Guru Maharaj. And of course the program went on and then all devotees, they spoke, and then the end of the program we came out. And real experience was not only that much, you know. Of course, first I heard about it, then later on I smelled it. Can I say that really I got the experience of eating it? No. Okay, I heard about it, but then I smelled it, but there was not sufficient. Unless I went there and actually, you know, took part in the feast, there was, you know, hardly any experience of, you know, any real experience, unless one directly goes and experiences the feast. Similarly, the purport is said that that there is Brahman, there is Paramatman, there is Bhagavan. Brahman, experiencing Brahman is just like, you know, hearing about the Supreme Lord. I mean, actually you have to render potent devotional service, not just hearing. Hearing is of course the beginning of devotional service, but that is not the end. Atmani Vaidanam is the end. We have to surrender ourselves completely. Starting from the beginning, I mean, Shravanam. But then, you know, Paramatma realization is there, where one understands that the same Supreme Lord is sitting one's own heart. That is there, of course, that is better than just, you know, experiencing Brahman, all-pervading Brahman. But best of the experiences is to understand that here is a personality, let me offer devotional service unto him. And only then can one understand the personality, and then there is a release from this external energy. Otherwise, the grip of the energy is always on us. So therefore, the personified Vedas, they are openly declaring. Although it is said that 98% of the Veda, they propagate only Karma Kanda and Jnana Kanda. That means render and try to do some yajnas and these rituals and that and this and that, then elevate yourself to, you know, heavenly planets and enjoy there for some period of time, and that's it. And 98% of the Vedas are telling only this and this and only this. And maybe the 2% what they were supposed to tell, that's what we are hearing now. They are telling that of course 98% is not much of use. Here is the 2%. What is the 2%? That directly render devotional service unto the Lord. And that's what we are hearing now. Some days before, while I was dressing the deities inside the altar, I heard the lecture of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada was telling that Vedas are like our mothers. Vedas are like our mothers. And they are pointing towards who is our father. Our father is the Supreme Lord Krishna. The Vedas are, you know, directly telling us, here is your Lord, here is your Father, render service unto him. That is your duty. At least out of duty you surrender unto him and render service. At least out of duty. Then love comes later on, that is later. But at least out of duty, you are duty bound to do your service to the Lord. This Monday I did the dressing, and then Monday again here we heard the same lecture. In fact, it was incidentally it happened that what lecture I heard inside, the same lecture was delivered here also by Srila Prabhupada. Again Prabhupada is telling, Vedas are your like mothers and they are pointing towards your Supreme Lord. Why don't you surrender? Why don't you render service? Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Again and repeatedly Prabhupada is hammering. So that is, therefore it is fresh in the mind. That this devotional service is the essence of all the Vedic literatures. And there are 9 processes of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. There are 9 different processes of devotional service. But many times I hear that devotees, of course they are there, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, but it's all, don't you think it is really, intellectual? It's not intellectual, but some, they think that. It's only happening on the level of mind and intelligence. It's, how can we experience it? For such people, Uddhava tells in Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that Tvaya Upabhukta Swagandha Vasa Alankara Charchita Uchishta Bhujina Dasas Tava Maya Jayemahi. He says that, my dear Lord, just by honoring your garlands offered by you, offered to you, just by accepting those garlands oneself, and perfumes offered to you, and the remnants of prasadam offered to you, bhoga offered to you, and then garments and the ornaments. He explains the 5 items which are tangible, which you can touch and experience it. We are into experiencing everything with our existence. So here is an experience one can go through. What are those 5 items? Garlands, just now, I was offered this beautiful garland, offered to their lordships. Garland, and at least one may come for morning prayer, at least 2 times we are given the perfumes, twice. Once during that arati, Narsingh Arati, and second time and during Srila Prabhupada Pur Guru Puja, we are given that beautiful fragrance, it is still there fresh on my hand. And then of course there is remnants of prasadam. We can offer to the Lord whatever we cook and we can taste it. Is it not? It's so very tangible. And there are garments and ornaments which may not be regularly done. Actually, that also can be done. Devotees can offer their garments, whatever they want to wear. And if they want to wear ornaments, that also can be offered. At least, all of us, we wear Kanthi Mala, that is a real ornament. That also we offer it to the Lord. We can put it on our necks. So I think we are doing all these things. We are offered garlands, we are twice a day, we are experiencing the beautiful perfume. And remnants anyway, that we don't have to say, we are experiencing it thrice a day. And whenever there is Kanthi Mala, it's not fresh and we can go for new Kanthi Mala. Is it not? Garments we are wearing, everything is ultimately Mahaprasad of the Lord only. Then we are doing all these things, then what is happening? Where are we progressing? Here, Uddhava is telling that just by accepting these remnants of your, Mahaprasad, we can conquer the material energy. And we have devoured, tons of prasadam. We have drunk so much of charanam, the drums of charanamrit, and so much of bottles of, perfume, so many garlands and so many clothes we have worn. And so what is happening? So once, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he saw one of his followers who had come to Gaudiya Math. He was, everybody was given prasadam. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was also honoring prasadam. with so many other devotees, and they were eating. And everybody finished also. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he also finished his prasadam. Whereas this person was, you know, eating and eating and eating. And he was very much fond of rasgullas. And he was asking for more and more rasgullas, and they were given to him, and he was really relishing it. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was just observing this person. He just went on eating and eating. Everybody finished. He himself finished. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Still this fellow was went on, you know, eating and eating it. And at last, he finished his meal. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked it, "So, is Mahaprasad enjoying you, or you are enjoying Mahaprasad? What is happening?" He didn't know what to answer. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave the purport. "So when we eat Mahaprasad, we are supposed to be enjoyed by Mahaprasad. That is a real understanding of honoring Mahaprasad. Initially, you know, we try to enjoy Mahaprasad. That is but natural for a conditioned living entity. But when wants to really progress in devotional service, you should know that Krishna is present in the form of prasadam. So let him enjoy me. Not that I enjoy Mahaprasadam. That happens in the initial stage. But when we want to progress really into devotional service, we can take up to this process of being enjoyed by the Lord. And that is very essential. When we do that, then all this Shravanam Kirtanam is there. Anyway, it is highly potent. No doubt about it. But even these, you know, really tangible experiences of wearing garlands, eating Mahaprasad, you know, accepting perfumes and Charanamut and all these things also can, you know, give us first-hand experience of devotional service, of Krishna. So therefore, many a times when his disciples would come for Mahaprasadam of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would ask, "Who asked what?" The personal servant would tell, this devotee wanted this rasgulla, so therefore he was given that. He wanted paratha, he was given that. And this devotee wanted sabji, he was given that. And rice and this. So many, he was telling who wanted what. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati asked, "Who wanted what of my Mahamaha?" And he was told. Then Bhaktisiddhanta, other day he told, "Okay, you today what you do, you thoroughly mix everything. Rice, dal, sabji, sweet and her rasgulla, everything. You mix it up and then you give them." Then next day it was done like that because it was told to him like that. Next day he was trying to distribute prasada. This time, where is my favorite in this? Where is my favorite? No, it was mixed. It is mixed now because Guru Maharaj has told us, now you take it. So that time, you know, naturally they were not very much enthusiastic to honor the same Maha. Everything is there. It is similar. It is Maha of their Guru Maharaj, but they were not much interested. The thing is that they really wanted to enjoy Mahaprasad, which is but natural. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wanted to teach him another lesson. That, okay, you be enjoyed by the Lord now. Let Lord enjoy you now. Why not? Because he is the real enjoyer. We understand it. We hear it. Bhoktaram yagrapata tapasam sarvalokameshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamam shantarachit. We quote this verse. We recite this verse. Is it not? So why not experience it? So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was telling that why not experience this one? Why not actually practice this verse? So therefore, these potent items of devotional services are there, but at the same time we have to be, we should know how to actually render these types of devotional services. The underlying principle is that, you know, we are not the enjoyer. Krishna is the real enjoyer. So when we come in front of their lordships, when we take darshan, you know, we think that we are looking at them. Actually, what we can look at them, you know, how can we understand them? Can we really experience Krishna, and right now they're Shishrada Gopinath are playing flute. Right now they are playing flute. So at least I am not hearing it. Some of you may be hearing it. So when our dear Guru Gaurang Prabhu plays flute, it's so melodious. Other day I was walking down in the afternoon, 1-2 o'clock, and chanting my rounds, and I heard beautiful melodies on the flute, and I was wondering where this dude. I was thinking, is he sitting on the top? And then I walked through and I saw him playing the flute in the Brahmacharya Ashram. I mean, I could hear that flute, and the Lord is playing every now and then. I mean, throughout the day he is playing, but I hardly hear it. So if I take darshan of the Lord, then I should also hear. Not only taking darshan is not only for eyes, but it is also for the ears. Where am I hearing it? That means, am I really deaf? Or am I really seeing it? So actually, none of the senses are working properly because they are impure right now. They are really impure. So when we understand that Krishna is the enjoyer, so when I come in front of the Lord, let Lord see me and purify my heart. When I do that, maybe one day I can see the Lord as He is standing on the altar. So again, This principle of rendering devotional service is so very essence of all the Vedic literatures. On the day of Govardhan Puja, I was here, so I was trying to understand that today is Govardhan Puja. Krishna is a lover of cows, he is a keeper of the cows, he is Gopal, he is Govind, his abode is known as Goloka Vrindavan. Appears here, that is known as Gokula Vrindavan. So much Krishna is connected with cows. And I was thinking to go nearby. There is one cow here, if you have seen it. Dwarkadish temple, very nearby, there is a cow. And I just wanted to go and be near the cow and render some service. But some other I could not do that day. I couldn't really go. And I was lamenting, how unfortunate I am, I couldn't go. Then very soon, another Gopashtami came. I decided right in the morning, today is Gopashtami, I am going to go without any reason. So I made it and I went there with Srinivasan Prabhu and three more Brahmacharis and one more Bajaj Prabhu. What is his name? Rasik Govinda Prabhu. He also came along with us. Four, five of us, we went there and we were trying to take care of the cows, in the sense feeding some laddus, and there was some nice grass available and we fed the cows. Cow was very happy. We took darshan of the Lord and then we came back. I was reflecting upon. So, this cow is there. And what we offered cow, something for us, actually it is not usable. For us it is insignificant. What is that? Some grass and some laddus. Those laddus you cannot eat. They are meant for only the cows. You cannot eat them. And grass anyway you don't touch. So we offered these things. In return, what cow gives us? The nectar in milk. Is it not? Which can be utilized in the service of the Lord so very nicely. And it is the essence of, all the liquid religion, Prabhupada said. Milk is the liquid religion. And this is the religion, we are practicing religion, but what is the liquid form of the religion? That is the cow's milk. So devotional service is just like, feeding the cows. Here Krishna is the cow, and whatever we patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam, that is like, for us, what is patram? Tulsi patta. That is, we don't try to taste it. We may accept as a mahaprasad and that's it. And phalam, fruits anyway, we can offer. Toyam, it's not a much attractive item. Is it not? Flowers, you know, okay, flowers may be there. So for the Lord, they are very attractive. The cow may not be, we may not be liking the items which are liked by the cows, but cow likes it. Cow likes it. Similarly, when we offer these simple things, for us in one way, they are not very useful. And in return, what the cow gives? The nectar and milk. Similarly, when we render devotional service unto the Lord with these simple things, Shravanam, Kirtanam, it may be, or some offering than actual items, then in return, Krishna gives the pure love of God, which is like milk, the essence of all the religion. Is it not? So such are the glories of devotional service. When we actually take part in it, we can experience in due course of time the fruit of love of God. And other day I was discussing with our Gaur Gopal Prabhu. He gave on Sunday a beautiful class. And he was telling that this patram pushpam phalam toyam, we actually take it literally, and we are supposed to do that. We should offer lotus tulasi leaves at the feet of the Lord. Pushpam, we should offer flowers. We should offer fruits, and then of course water is there. That is literal meaning, but there is a deeper meaning he was trying to tell other day. He only covered one part, that is one thing. The patram. What is patram? Patram means we think that is tulasi patta. At this time, according to Pejavar Swami, Vishwachitirtha Swamiji, he was telling, according to him, then later on I was discussing with him, then he was telling, patram is to, you know, go through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, of the scriptures. They are also called as patram. That's what he said in the class. But then what about pushpam, phalam, toyam? He didn't tell that. So I was trying to discuss it. Then he was telling other day that pushpam is the celebration of the victory of the Lord. Just like whenever Krishna would kill some demons in Vrindavan, there were showers of flowers from the top. The demigods, they would shower the flowers. Why? Because Krishna is victorious. Now let us celebrate the victory of Krishna. So there is Rama, Vijayotsava. Rama is he has conquered Ravana, so let us celebrate his victory. That is Rama Vijayotsava. Then Krishna Janmashtami is there. And then of course we do celebrate what is that? Flower festival, Pushyabhisheka. That is really, you know, we are showering literally with the flower, petals and flowers on the Lord. We are trying to celebrate the victory of the Lord. When we do that, now that is the celebration of the Lord, is offering not one, two, but showers of flowers. That is called as, you know, pushpam. And phalam is, of course, we have to offer the results of our, you know, service, our fruits to the Lord in the service of the Lord. That is offering our fruits in the service of the Lord. And then what about toyam? What about toyam? So we have to come to the level of, you know, crying for the mercy of the Lord, just like a baby cries for the mercy of her mother or his mother. Is it not? And Prabhupada said also how one should chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. One should chant in such a way that not necessarily he is trying to now cry, that we cannot imitate, but at least we can cry in our hearts, crying for the mercy of the Lord. Eventually the tears may come also, the real tears. Until then we can cry in our heart and chant the holy names. And this is how the Vedas are propagating the pure devotional service, and they themselves are rendering it, and now they are asking us to render devotional service unto the lotus feet of the Lord. And that is the perfection of one's life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki, Jatai Gaura Premanandai.